Hello, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for finishing up your day one of sessions here at MMS with us. My name is Charlie Satterfield. I'm a program manager in the Cloud and Data Center Management Group. I'm joined by Khalil Nassar out of Microsoft.com. And together, we're going to show you how Microsoft.com is taking advantage of features such as GSM, Visual Studio Web Testing, and APM to enhance their monitoring. When you leave this session, you should be able to understand how we're taking advantage of these features and how you too can take advantage of these features to increase your monitoring capabilities and detect problems quicker. Today we'll talk a little bit about my team, the monitoring management team, how we think about monitoring, what's available in System Center 2012 SP1 in regards to app monitoring. We'll review a little bit of app monitoring in action. And then we'll talk a little bit about our challenges in our implementation and what we've done to overcome some of these challenges. First off, the monitoring and management team, sometimes referred to as M&M, we provide data center monitoring and management services to some of Microsoft's largest corporate websites, including Microsoft.com, Windows Update, Windows Intune, MSDN TechNet, the Windows Store, and the list goes on. Globally, we monitor over 9,000 servers. Some of these are web servers, some are SQL servers, SharePoint servers. There's quite a few. We generate, well, those servers in turn generate, on average, 3,000 incidents a day. Those flow through our operations manager management group and are routed to service manager, where they're triaged and escalated as appropriate. A little bit more about our team. In order to run a service of our size, we require a Tier 1 team that's dedicated to first-touch incident resolution or escalation. This team has a 15-minute SLA in which any incident that hits their queue, they attempt to resolve or escalate. They resolve based on a troubleshooting guide provided by our partners. There's about 40 vendors on this team split between Redmond and India to achieve a 24/7 service. We have a Tier 2 team, consists of four vendors that are responsible for managing our day-to-day run state of our own infrastructure, operations manager, service manager, orchestrator. We also have a Tier 3-4 team. This is several full-time engineers, and they're responsible for testing out some of the product group's latest and greatest features and working with our partners, our internal customers, to get those features in their hands. Lastly, we have myself, a program manager, and a service manager on our team. We're responsible for driving these projects and customer relationship. A quick blurb on how we think about monitoring. We think of it from two different paradigms. An inside-out paradigm, where we're leveraging app monitors and app events and performance counters. This really is some of the base operations manager functionality from the agent, gathering events from the event log, gathering perf counters, WMI queries, etc. While powerful, it does require that you've developed your application in a way such that you have rich events that are actionable. Another paradigm that we think about in monitoring is the outside-in paradigm, and this is much more of the customer experience. Is that customer able to hit that web page? Do they receive a 404? Are they able to log in? Things like this. These typically have been executed by web probes in our service, either by a third-party service or some custom tooling that our own team had developed. In 2012 SP1, one last thing on outside in. When we think about outside in, what we're really wanting to understand is not just what is the end user experience from one point in time and one location. We want to understand what that experience is like from many different points of presence so that we can understand whether or not users are experiencing issues in a regional or a region versus globally. In 2012 SP1, we have web application transaction monitoring. This has been around in several iterations of Operations Manager. We won't spend much time talking about that feature in this session. We will focus, though, on web availability monitoring, Visual Studio web tests, and application performance monitoring. All of our partners are taking advantage of these features in our service. With web availability monitoring, this really has given our engineers the power to be able to create monitors that can test one or more URL within that monitor and understand the availability as well as base performance of the web page. Our engineers typically will create one of three types of tests. They'll either create a URL test, which they'll typically execute from GSM, and they're wanting that outside-in functionality. What's the end user outside of Microsoft's network experiencing? Then there's two other types, a virtual IP or VIP test, or a dedicated IP or DIP test. These are very powerful as they allow the engineer, as we start to see intermittent availability issues with the URL test, using the VIP or DIP test, we're able to actually pinpoint which web cluster or which specific machine is having issues, take that out of rotation immediately, and increase our availability percentage. Now, in the case of Microsoft.com, we're running these VIP and DIP tests using internal watcher node pools or resource pools. We've created these using two gateways and created a resource pool in Operations Manager. We have three different resource pools in their environment in three different data centers to execute these VIP and DIP level tests. So I'd like to take a moment and walk through creating a web availability test and then review some of the visualizations that are available to understand the availability and health and performance of those. Let me switch over. I'm in my Operations Manager console, and I'm on the authoring workspace. Within this, I'll go ahead and click the Add Monitoring Wizard. And in a moment, the Add Monitoring Wizard will launch. I'll select the Application Availability Monitoring template and click Next. I'll provide a friendly name, and in this case, it will be testmicrosoft.com. I can provide a description. I can select an existing or new management pack, and then I'll select Next. When I get to this screen, I have options. I can type in a name and URL pair and add several of those. Or, alternatively, I can click the Add button and go look for a CSV file that contains a column of names and a column of URLs. It makes the creation process much easier when you're creating a monitor for many different URLs. In this case, I'm keeping this simple. So I'll just type it in. I'll click Next. When we get to this screen gives you the capability of assigning these tests to either external global service monitor watcher nodes or points of presence or internal locations, either an agent, a gateway, a management server, or in our case, a resource pool. So I'll go ahead and click Add under External Locations, and then I could start typing if I wanted to filter this list, but I'll go ahead and click Search to just return the entire list of points of presence, of which there are 15. And I'll go ahead and select a few. I'll click Add and OK. Now, if I want to, I can go ahead and also add internal locations to this test. And from our standpoint, we would select resource pool. And then I know that my two resource pools have the characters DC in them. And I could select one or both of these resource pools to execute this test from. You'll notice that I do have a location assigned to these resource pools. This is capable by using the PowerShell commands. Now, in the case of creating this monitor, I think I'm going to actually skip on adding internal watcher nodes, and I'll just keep the external watcher nodes. So I'll click Next. Now, on this screen, this gives you an overview of all the tests and locations that will be executed by this monitor. And it gives you an overview of the test frequency, which in this case is the default 10 minutes. I can, if I want to change that, click Change Configuration. And it provides a lot of options for me to tweak this test. Because I'm running from external GSM points of presence, the maximum frequency that I can run that from is once every 5 minutes. So I'll change that, and that'll be a 5. Now, I can, if I want to, tweak some of the alerting thresholds that are specific to this application. I can also, if I so desire, change this value, which is... as it executes the test. And then there's some additional configuration, including the ability to modify HTTP headers, which is of particular interest to several of our partners, including Windows Update. So I've made the changes that I want to make, so I'll go ahead and click OK. Oh, I changed that to a 1. It needed to be a 5. All right. So now I'm ready to create my test. I click on Next, and if I wanted to create this, I'd go ahead and click Create. Now, creating this imports it into the management pack. The management pack gets imported back into the Operations Manager Management Group, and then communication begins with GSM. It may take a little while before we start to see results from this, so I've pre-created a test that we can look at some of the results. So I'll cancel out of this. To look at the results, I'll go back to the monitoring tab. And in this workspace, under Web Application Availability Monitoring, I'm focused on the Web Application Status View. I'll go ahead and select my Microsoft.com GSM monitor. And you'll notice on the right-hand side, I've got several dashboards. One is a summary dashboard map. If I click on that, it brings up a view of the world and all the points of presence that I'm executing the test from. If you select these, it provides detailed information below as far as the transaction response time and the last sample time of these particular tests. If you had a failing test, you would see a red indicator from one of those points of presence. In this case, all my tests are passing. Now, the detailed dashboard, I'm actually having an issue with my management group right now, so I need to unfortunately switch to a screenshot of that. The detailed dashboard provides a view into the performance characteristics of those tests from points of presence that you select. In this case, we've selected several of the points of presence and then checked on the checkbox for several of them to understand what the performance characteristics of those tests are. You can see in total transaction time, I've got one that is way above the others. I apparently need to look into what's going on in that region, or maybe there's something going on with the actual web server itself. Typically, when we're looking at this report, we're looking for outliers. Am I seeing a spike from a particular location, or am I seeing a spike from all locations, indicating a global problem? All right, I'll jump back. Additionally, I have a web application availability report on the lower right. If I click on that, it opens up an SSRS report, and I'm able to select a start and end time for a period, and then I run the report. When it finishes, it returns and shows a graphic as far as my availability percentage. You can see for this particular period, for this application, I'm 100% available. If there was some downtime, you would see red in the actual bar graph, and it would show a percentage and downtime in hours and seconds. It's not very interesting for me to dive into or drill into this, because all you're going to see is 100% availability for multiple days. However, if I had the downtime, I could drill in to all the way down to a day level and see the exact time frame where I had that downtime.
All right.
Anna, do you want to field that question? I believe if you have a failure in one location, it's a failure in general. Yes, it's a worst of. All right, so let me go back to the presentation. Some of the benefits that our team, as well as Microsoft.com, is seeing in leveraging these web availability monitors in GSM are the ability to provision an application monitor that tests multiple URLs. In previous tools, our customers were creating a single monitor and test per URL, and it was very time-consuming and expensive to create. The ability to do this really improves our time to create the tests, and as we roll out some of our dedicated instances, and I'll talk to that in a moment, it's really improved our onboarding process. Next, it's easy to provision tests both to external watcher nodes as well as internal resource pools or agents. In the past, our service folks actually had to use different tooling for an internal test versus an external test, and the data was in disparate systems. Now it's all in Operations Manager, and it's all in the same workflow. Because you're in Operations Manager, you get the automatic health roll-ups. In this case, worst of, and if you had a failure in any of those tests, you would have a failure overall for that monitor. The availability performance dashboards are really giving our engineers, as well as management, a good heads-up view as far as the health of a particular monitor or application. And then the reports are really being used by our upper management to drive their monthly, end-of-month availability percentage calculations. And this has really come in handy. Lastly, it's free. All of our service partners have been leveraging third-party services for some of this type of monitoring. The ability for them to actually spin up these monitors in a free system, they're very, very excited. We do have some challenges. We have a bit of a scale problem. In Microsoft.com, they're going to be creating, once they're done, they're at about 150 to 200 monitors now. Once they're completed all their monitors, they'll be upwards of 400 monitors. When they want to change settings as far as the test frequency across many of those monitors, they actually have to open up each one of them and change the properties. So that's something that we're working through. Next, while those availability reports are really powerful and our management group loves them, there is some challenge there. When there's downtime, and you see the red indicated there, unfortunately, they really need to go back to the engineers and ask them, what caused that issue? What was the alert? And so the engineers have to go back into the Health Explorer, find the appropriate object, look at the alert context, and feed that information back in. Next, Microsoft.com, their page is made up of many different components. And some of the components they develop, some of the components other teams develop. And so when they have a performance issue, they really want to understand, well, is it something they need to tackle, or is it something they need to hand off and drive another group to fix? And to do that, they would like to be able to see performance across all the components that load in a page. The base performance counters that we get with GSM don't provide that, but they still provide a great indication of whether or not the app is performing as expected. And then lastly, there are GSM test limits. When you initially sign up, you get 30 tests, but after a conversation with Anna, we had the OrgID website now has a support link available where you can request additional test capability. Now, we love the power that web availability monitoring gets us, but it only gets us so far in understanding the true health of our applications. We understand if the page resolves. We understand if DNS worked and we can actually get there. We didn't get a 404. We didn't get a 401. But we're not really able to test a complete end-to-end scenario. We don't know if a user could actually search on the page. We don't know if they could log in effectively. That's leading us down the path of Visual Studio Web Tests. This is new in SP1 together with GSM. And Microsoft.com is actively testing this right now. Visual Studio, recording a web test using Visual Studio, gives us the ability to actually walk through various pages, enter text or enter data into the site, log in if it's a web form, and then return results. There's some considerations here. I'm not going to go through all of those. They are available up on TechNet. The one I will call out because it is in the demo is the think time parameters must be set to zero. GSM doesn't support think time greater than zero. You'll see as I record a web test, as I pause throughout the web test creation, the think time increases. So it's a simulation of you sitting on the page, essentially. So why don't I jump over and I will demonstrate how to record a web test and then upload that up to GSM. All right. First of all, I'm going to start in Visual Studio because that's where I need to kick off the web test recorder. I've created a web and load test project in Visual Studio. I'm going to go ahead and add a web performance test to this project. When I do this, Internet Explorer launches, and the recorder's already active. Now, I can go ahead and start typing. And as the page loads, you can see components of the page are showing up, and certain steps are being recorded. Now, I'm going to make this a fairly simple test. I want to just search for Windows 8. You can see I still have more steps compiling as I move through the website. Now, I think this is going to be fine as far as a very simple user scenario, so I'm going to go ahead and click the stop. This takes me back to the Visual Studio IDE, and it's going to detect any dynamic parameters that existed in that recording. Now, in this recording, there weren't any, and it'll tell me that in just a moment. But in scenarios where you're dealing with web form authentication, I've proved wrong. There wasn't any just this morning, but now there is. In this case, I'll go ahead and click OK. In scenarios especially involving web form authentication, you may run into dynamic parameters which you need to promote. Now, you'll notice on the lower left, I have two validation rules. Let me get my mouse out of there. Two validation rules. Down here, a response URL and a response time goal. Those apply to all of the steps within this test. But if I wanted to add validation to just a specific step, I could go and highlight that step, right-click, and add the validation rule. And I have several to choose from, but in this case, I'm going to execute a pretty simple one, which is I just want to find out, can I find windows on the search results that were returned? So I'll go ahead and click OK. Now it's inserted that validation rule underneath the search results step. Now, before I save this off and upload this to GSM, I do need to change one thing. I need to click the Set Request Details. Set Request Details is an easy way to view the think time across all of your steps. And you can see here, I've got a couple steps that do have think time. So I'll go ahead and I'll change these to 0. And I'll click OK. Now let me save this off. All right, so I'm done recording my test. So now I need to jump back. Yes, I want to include that. Now I need to jump back into the Operation Manager console and again go back to the authoring workspace. And in the authoring workspace, under Visual Studio Web Test Monitor, you'll notice I do have a couple tests that exist already. But I want to create this new test. So I'll go ahead and click Add Monitoring Wizard. And with any luck, this will launch quickly. And I can begin to create my monitor involving this web test file. I'll go ahead and select the Visual Studio Web Test Monitoring from the template list. Again, I'll provide a friendly name, in this case, search. Come on. There we go. Searchmicrosoft.com. I'll select a management pack to save this into. Click Next. On this page, I'm now prompted for the location of the web test file that I just created. So I'll go ahead and click Add. And I'll find the one I just created, and I'll click Open. Now, this is now added to my monitor under the name MMS Demo 4, and you can see the file name. I could, if I wanted to, add several other of these web test files to this particular monitor, but in this case, I'm going to keep it simple with just one test for this monitor. So I'll click Next. Now, you'll notice on this screen, when you're prompted to add locations, there's just one box. That's because you can only upload these Visual Studio web tests to the external GSM points of presence. So I'll go ahead and click Add and search. And my list is returned. And I'll go ahead and again select a few locations. And I'll click Add. OK gets me back to this screen. And then I'll select Next. Again, we're on the review page and allows us to look at all the locations and the tests that are going to be executed. And you can see the test frequency is set to that default of 10 minutes. I can go ahead and click Change Configuration if I want to change that. And you'll notice the page is kind of sparse compared to the other page that we saw under Web Application Monitoring. Because most of the settings of the test are actually in the web test file, you're really concerned with just how many times am I executing this, or how often am I executing this, and how many times should it fail before I generate an alert. In this case, I'm just going to go ahead and leave it at 10, and the default of one failure generating alert. I'll click Next, and I'm now ready to go ahead and click Create, and this will be uploaded to GSM. Now, it will, again, take a little bit of time before the data starts to return back, so I've already created one that we can look at some of the visualizations. So let me cancel out of this. And these locations are provided. So the question was, for the recording, where are these locations, or what are these locations? These locations are provided by the Global Service Monitor service. They are points of presence around the world that execute these tests. Correct. Correct. You're limited to public-facing websites only. Sorry for the recording again. The question was, are you limited to just testing external public-facing? And the answer was yes. All right, so I'll go back to monitoring, and I'll go to the Visual Studio Web Test Status view. And you can see I've got three monitors. One of them happens to be in maintenance mode right now. But let me select Microsoft.com. When I select Microsoft.com, I've got, again, a list of dashboards that appear, as well as reports. And I'm going to, because some of these are similar to web application monitoring, I'm going to focus on one area that's very different. the test result dashboard. Test result dashboard gives me the ability to look at one location at a time, highlight the test that I want to look at, and it gives me a total transaction time or visualization of the performance of the total transaction time over, I believe, a 24-hour period, and then it begins to load the detailed results of that test. Now, in this case, I've got some pretty long URLs, so the formatting's a little off, but you get to see the pass or failure per step as well as the total time and request time for each step. Now, this is something that Microsoft.com engineers and management are very excited about, and that's why they're actively testing it right now, and we're looking to have several of these in the next week in production. So one thing to note, you'll see up here the test was last run at 4.4. This is a test download result. In order to get the most current, I actually have to go over into the tasks pane and select download test result file. Until you hit that link and actually download the file, this visualization is not apparent. All right. So some of the benefits that our team and Microsoft.com are very excited about. As you saw in the demo, it's very easy to record a web test with a combination of Visual Studio and Internet Explorer. The ability for us to actually execute transactions and monitor an end-to-end user scenario is very powerful, and it gives us a much better perspective as far as the health of that application and the user experience that we see from those applications. The fact that we can add specific validation rules within a particular step is also very beneficial and allows us to make sure that not only is the page loading or each step loading within a certain period of time, but specific details are found on each page or other validations. Next, as I just displayed, we get a great view into the results of that test. We don't just get a single line of performance statistics. We actually can dive in and understand where our pain might be if we're seeing some performance degradation. And lastly, it's free. Using the combination of Visual Studio and Operations Manager, I can upload this test to GSM for free. Some of the challenges that we have, and this was already kind of highlighted by the question from the audience. We have a lot of scenarios within our firewall that we'd love to be able to test using this, but we're not able to deploy these tests to our internal resource pools. And then lastly, the GSM test limits, which doesn't sound like it's going to be a challenge anymore. Yes?
So how do you keep someone's monitoring from overdriving to a certain point? You can share resources between all customers. How do you ensure that point location in Singapore is impacted by someone's monitoring that's kicking off requests?
So that's not a question that I can answer for you, but Anna, do you mind stepping up here and
thank you. So this is precisely why we went with declarative tests. If you look, actually, you can look at the tests in the notepad, the XML. So these are instructions for the agent to execute those steps. And the reason we handle those problems, like how does one user doesn't affect everybody else. First of all, we put on those limits, right? So each test can only have up to 100 steps. And then our execution is multi-threaded and it's asynchronous, so there are all types of performance optimizations that we've done to avoid those problems.
Certainly, go. It's a 30 test limit when you first sign up. Yes, so a test is considered, so in the case of web application monitoring, it's considered a URL location pair. In this case, it would be a web test file location pair. Lots of questions. I think he was up first.
How do you do the additional sign-up?
The additional sign-up? Why don't we hold that question to the end, and I'll ask Anna to come back up, and we can talk a little bit about that. Did you have the same question or different? Different question. We haven't tested with that, and I'm not sure. Again, why don't we hold on that, and let's handle our questions here at the end. I'll ask Anna to just come up and join us, because it sounds like there's a few questions that we haven't delved into with our... Yes? So the question was, again, so I know you, you, and you all have questions. Let's hold to the end so that we can get through the rest of our session. And this is why I asked Anna to come and join us, because there are some particulars here that are specific to the GSM service and not necessarily how we're leveraging. So let me move on. Yes?
There should be an easier one. When you put it into maintenance mode, is that done from the SCOM console, and how does that replicate out to the GSM?
So, yes, you can put a specific test or actually the entire monitor into maintenance mode. And it will basically stop executing from GSM. You won't be downloading any more tests. Okay. All right. We're going to move on. We'll come back to I know who the guilty parties are. We'll come back to them. Yes. Yes. So in a particular URL, I don't quite know the answer to that, so let's hold on that. All right, at this point, let me introduce Khalil Nassar. He's going to come up and talk a little bit about how Microsoft.com is leveraging APM to enhance their monitoring and get to root issues much quicker.
Thank you, Charlie. I'm Khalil Nassar. I've been working with MSCom Systems for about 8 years now. I debug live site issues for sites like www.microsoft.com. And I want to talk about how we think about APM, how we use APM in production, and how it's changed the way my team works.
There's your clicker.
Thank you. A little bit about what we run. We run www.microsoft.com. We run the Download Center, profiles, careers, and a bunch more. WWW is our biggest site, and we take between 20,000 and 28,000 requests per second every day throughout the day. That comes out to more than 1.6 billion requests per day from typically 57 million unique IPs. We're the ninth largest website in terms of reach as measured by media metrics. A little bit about our architecture. We have 24 WWW front-end application request routers, servers that kind of act as reverse proxies back to the different content clusters. There's 64 WWW content servers. We've been moving away from the monolithic approach where we have all the content on all the servers and have an increasing number of sites where they have their own back-end content clusters, sites like Surface, Volume Licensing, Service Center, and Licensing. We have a global platform availability SLA of 3.9s, 99.9%, and we're moving to GSM as our baseline platform to measure that. Being a part of MSIT, and being a part of the MSIT First and Best program, we try to run all the latest OS by RTM. Right now we're on Windows 2012, IS 8, on pretty much the whole platform.
So their platform availability is a very specific web ping against the test page. Their page delivery is actually executed in Keynote right now, and it's a full page load validating components.
So www is a very challenging site to run. We host the content for a lot of different providers, Microsoft, all Microsoft marketing groups worldwide, a lot of different engineering teams. We have over 3,100 web applications spread out across 26 different application pools on these servers, and that's a lot of content. We have publishing and authoring systems that are operational 24/7, 365. People can push out updates, code, content throughout the year, all around the clock. So this is what debugging used to look like. Has anybody debugged with the Windows native debuggers before, such as WinDBG? I'm impressed, and I feel your pain. Typically, what I do in the past is hook up a Windows native debugger up to a misbehaving application pool, and I do what I call debug trolling. I'd collect exception output for a set period of time, 1 minute, 10 minutes. Then I'd categorize and tally my call stacks with no guarantee that the misbehaving activity had actually occurred. This is time-consuming, resource-intensive, requires that the target is taken out of production rotation. Debugging today, APM is now the primary tool for debugging application failures on WWW. With over 3,100 applications, we target a small subset of those, and we don't do this across all 64 servers, but rather a subset of servers in each data center. Since we're a public-facing website, we're very concerned with performance issues. So we will monitor the critical applications all the time, and then the most misbehaving applications we'll monitor as they're being investigated. One of the things we're very excited about with APM is the new integration with TFS. It allows for a tighter turnaround with between operations and development, faster turnaround time, and I'll be demonstrating this shortly. Okay, I want to show you a few reports that come out of APM that are very powerful. The first one is called Summary Failure Analysis, and it's an excellent tool for getting an all-up for your entire site. Running this report with the defaults, meaning all computers and all applications, will give you this output that we see here. In the statistical view, we see the most problematic application on line one and on down. And in the graphical view, once again in the vertical column, that correlates to one application. So very quickly, and it takes about 5 minutes to run this, 20 seconds to run this report, maybe 30 seconds, within a short amount of time, we can see that two applications in this particular example are responsible for 87% of the problems that our site is encountering. Now, if I drill into that top application, hyperlink, we'll see the breakdown of the top five exceptions. And we can drill into that top hyperlink and see what's responsible for 23% of the exceptions for that application. And we get into the exception detail, which contains our call stack, our record of code leading up to failure, the exception detail code. And then optionally, we can select the actions menu item and download the IntelliTrace capture. Whereas the previous report would give you the all-up for your site and help you quickly determine which application is causing pain, this report is a nice report for focusing on a single application, the application status report. Where it's powerful is that it allows you to compare how the application is performing now with how the application performed a week ago, or you can select a month ago or as much as 6 months ago. So a great application for, report for running after you've done a publish of code. And you want to validate that a certain set of exceptions have gone away, and you also want to see if any of this, if this new code has any new exceptions. I just wanted to mention the first part of the application status report gives you a bar graph of popular metrics like event count, and it's comparing the previous to the current. So just at a quick glance, we can see that the previous, the current performance in terms of problem events is what we're talking about here, has reduced. The next section in the report gives us the graphical analysis of the same information but a little more fine-grained detail. Then we get the top 10 new exception problems. So this is particular to this this present sample period. The next section gives us the top 10 performance problems and the top 10 exception problems. This is super powerful. What I like about it in the, I guess I could use this monitor. What I like about it, in the event column, the color-coded subcolumn gives positive and negative values. For instance, in the exception problem section, we'll see that that top exception occurred 340 times less during the current sample period than the previous sample period. And that's how that works. Drilling into that top exception, once again, we get the same type of data that we did with the previous report, call stack, exception details, and the ability to download the IntelliTrace capture. So now I'd like to demonstrate a little bit about the DevOps workflow. And I'm just going to take just an extra second here to...
Why don't I get started while you're
to get in my,
connecting back up?
I think I got it.
You got it?
It's fine, yeah. So with those two reports, we have a site-wide all-up that allows us to find our applications that are problematic. Then we can drill into our interesting applications that are causing us pain. Next, we have an idea of what the applications are that are giving us pain. So we go into Operations Manager, look into the monitor for those that particular application, and see if we can find some events that we can get over to development and get a fix for. And to do that, I'm going to invite Charlie to help me, and he's going to play the role of operations, and I will play the role of development, and we'll see if we can get a bug over to development for that particular issue.
All right, go ahead and get connected back up. All right, so as Khalil mentioned, we've leveraged some of the reports available on the Application Advisor console to determine which of our applications we really need to spend our time on. Where are we feeling pain, and where are end users in particular feeling pain from an exception or performance standpoint? We're then drilling in and identifying specific exceptions or performance problems that we want to escalate to the development team. And in this case, I understand the exception that I want to go after, and I can see in my operations console under the active alerts for my application, in this case we have a demo application. It's a little harder to predict from production when and you might actually get an alert. So this is a little bit of a simulation. In this case, I'll go ahead and with this alert, I'll right-click on it, and I'll set the resolution state to assign to engineering. Now, because we've already configured the TFS connector, it's operating every 5 minutes on default and checking for any alerts that have been set to this resolution state. Now, we've actually tweaked it down using overrides, and it's executing once every 20 seconds or so for the purposes of this demo. But now that I've set this, my development team, any moment now, is going to get a new operational issue, which is the template that's configured by the TFS connector. They're going to get this operational issue in their TFS, and they're going to have the details that they need to go off and work this issue. So with that, I'll hand off to my developer.
Thank you, Charlie. All right, so I have my Visual Studio up and running, and I have my development environment. Did you do two?
Yes, I did two.
Oh, yeah. I have that thing connected. I have my development environment all set up. and I'm connected to my TFS server for my particular project. I've set the work item type to operational issue, and I've set the state to new, and I'll just run that query.
It requires a specific operational issue template.
And the TFS work item synchronizer hasn't quite worked yet.
Why don't you go ahead and just kill those first two? And
you want me just, how about I, okay. I kill this one, and actually, operational close will get it, right? I'll just grab a closed issue just to demonstrate how the attachments or the links work. Now, normally, when I would get this bug, I would change the state to accepted, and I'd save it. And then I can come over to links, and I have an IntelliTrace link right here, which I'll click. And that'll give us our familiar exception report that we saw before. And I can go, it's already been groomed.
That alert was closed out.
Okay. Want me to check again?
Yeah, go ahead and check again.
Check one more time for a new.
Try the assigned engineer. Well,
it, gotcha.
Go ahead and just take the state out. Take the state out. Hold on, you messed with work item type. No, operational issue. All right, go ahead and run that.
All right, do we have anything? Everything's closed. What is...
And that one's resolved. All right, so it looks like this part of the demo is breaking down a little bit, unfortunately. If we were able to open up one that was new, we would have opened up a link that would have brought up that same familiar report that we saw from App Diagnostics, and we could have downloaded the IntelliTrace. Alternatively, there are overrides in the TFS connector that will allow you to attach specific IntelliTrace logs to the actual... Do you have one that's got...
Yeah, I got an attachment. So this was another bug, but it was the same event, and the attachment was... added to the bug. I'll double-click on the IntelliTrace attachment, and I'll open that thing. And then we'll basically get the state that led up to that exception. There we go. And we'll start this IntelliTrace state resimulation, and I'll, as a developer, I'll be able to see and examine the various stack locations and code leading up to the failure. And because it's my dev machine, the same machine that created the actual site, everything pops open, matches up, symbols work, and I can analyze the location where the failure occurred. I think I see the problem. I build a fix, recompile, save it out, go back to the bug, and I reassign it, or I set the state back to resolved, and I can't see it right now, but set the state back to resolved, reassign it back to Charlie, type a few notes explaining what the reason was, save it out, and now it'll be back in Operations Manager, assigned back to Charlie. Okay, to finish up, I'd like to go over some benefits and challenges that we find with APM.
We have one question here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. That's a good question. The project happened to be built with Scrum, so I don't know if it aligns with...
So Vitaly has a session later this week, I believe, going into more details around APM, I believe. The question was, what process template was used to create that operational issue template? Is it based off of Agile or Scrum, or is it just separate, something unique?
Okay.
It'll come back.
So the ability to quickly configure monitors using IIS application inventory. So the UI of Ops Manager allowing you to enter partial names, search for machines, search for web applications makes it very easy to find what you want to monitor. Ability to profile against exceptions for performance events without modifying code. This is huge. I don't know if you've done any ETW tracing, but the setup and all the restarts and whatnot that might be associated with that are a real headache, and we don't have to do any of that with APM. Near zero touch, non-intrusive debugging and integration with IntelliTrace data. You know, the fact that we get IntelliTrace capture for free is huge. We can send that over to dev. They have the full nugget of what's happened, and In yes, sir. Yes. Yes. That's a very good question. Empirically, I can tell you it doesn't affect, but Anna would hopefully have the actual full answer.
So I'm not the APM program manager, but I work with Vitaly closely, so I know the answer to this. There are two types of IntelliTrace. So that is lightweight, which basically doesn't have effect on performance of your application. But that is also heavyweight IntelliTrace, which that is a separate task in Operations Manager console. If you say start collection, it will start collecting everything. This is heavyweight, so you need to make sure you stop that collection. Okay.
Thank you.
The basic IntelliTrace or the lightweight IntelliTrace is what is initially attached to the operational issue.
So yeah, it's non-impacting, and we get it for free, and like I say, it's huge. And in my actual experience using this for about the last 6 months, you know, sending the bugs over to dev, they've grabbed these bugs and they've just been on fire. They've turned these into bugs, turned them around, and they want to see this data. They love it. Statistical views and analysis of top failures and worst performance. So as we saw with the two reports, within a matter of minutes, we're able to determine our pain points site-wide all the way down to our acute issues. Tight integration with TFS for seamless bug fix integration between operations and development. Once again, the ease at which we can go into Operations Manager and assign bugs to development is really a great workflow. Some of the challenges. When you're going through those exception reports and the call stacks, it helps to have a little bit of knowledge of determining, well, is this a back-end SQL problem, a network issue, or is this possibly a genuine code bug issue? That takes a little bit of skill. When you initially set up the monitor, an IIS reset is required. And I can give you more details on that later. Some apps aren't discovered with defaults. For instance, if they don't have an ASPX file in their root, they won't be discovered. But there's a couple ways over that. You can put a dummy ASPX file in the root, or you can change the overrides so that they can be discovered. And finally, doesn't provide insight into memory leak investigation, and I say that one just because if it did, I don't have much of a job left to do. Charlie? Yeah.
Thank you, Khalil. So as Khalil demonstrated, our partners, including Microsoft.com, are leveraging these features. I'm done in two slides. Can you hold it? Yes, go for it. Oh, you have
TFS connection.
Okay, we'll wait till the end. So our partners are taking advantage of these features, but it took a little while until we could actually get them in their hands. Looking at the historically of our service, we typically had a single operations manager instance that all the agents were reporting to. Now, that's a lot of different business groups at Microsoft, that's a lot of different engineers, and in order to preserve the reliability and availability of that operations manager management group, we held the keys to that console pretty tightly. So it was a bit of a challenge there. Additionally, we had some product constraints. APM itself, it can only be enabled on 400 agents within a management group and only supports monitoring 700 applications within that management group. Microsoft.com alone kind of exceeds that numbers. So we kind of figured we needed to change how we were going about our service and what we were offering to our customers. Also, GSM only supports a single subscription per management group. So yet again, it was another reason we needed to implement change in our business. So what did we do? We're actually spinning up dedicated operations manager management groups for each one of our partners. This is giving them the ability to access that console. It's something they've never had before, and a lot of them are really jumping into it with a lot of enthusiasm and taking advantage of these great features such as web availability monitoring, such as GSM, such as Microsoft.com with a APM. They're actually using these features in great amounts, and it's benefiting their businesses. All those operations manager management groups still feed into our single service manager instance. From a logistical point of view, having a tier one team look at multiple service manager consoles just wasn't something that was feasible. So we're continuing to use just a single service manager. So I hope you've seen a little bit about how we leverage these features and how you might be able to leverage them to actually improve your own monitoring and get to issue resolution as fast as possible. At this point, I'd like to open it up to questions. I know I've got three individuals. I'd like to ask Anna to come up on stage and help out with some of these questions because I know some of them are service specific. So let's start with you in the red shirt back there, if you don't mind standing up for the mic. So Anna actually has, so the initial sign up to GSM, Anna has a blog out there, a blog posting that gives details. But basically, you go to the Microsoft Org ID website, you create an organization ID, and then you download the GSM management pack. There are some specific steps you'd like to mention.
Yes, Charlie, you're absolutely right. There was a session on GSM at 2 p.m., so there will be a recording where I go step by step what needs to be done. But Charlie is absolutely right. There is Microsoft portal where you can sign up. If you already have Office 365 subscription, this is your org ID. You can sign up with the same account. If not, there is a simple form which you fill out. And this is how you instantiate, basically you sign up for GSM offering. There are two of them. There is trial, which is free and available to everybody, and it expires in 90 days. And there is full version, which is provided at no additional cost to customers who have software assurance, and it never expires. So there are two links. They are in my presentation and on my blog. So follow the links. This is how you sign up for the offer. Then there is a link to download management packs. You import management packs, and then you go to administration pane and operations manager, and you enroll this management group, you subscribe this management group with Global Service Monitor.
Did you have a second question? So the TFS connector, it's basically an MPU import, and from there, hold on, let me show you the details quickly. Creates a template in the authoring view. And you can create multiple connections from this template. In this case, open up. Basically, you provide it with the details as far as the TFS connection string. The user that you the run as account that you use needs to be a local or a collection administrator, so it has the permissions to actually add that operational issue template to TFS, and then it sets up the recurring task. Okay? And then, I'm sorry, sir, I know we had, I think you were first and then you. Sorry.
No, not at the moment.
Okay. And one last question, then we'll get to the gentleman with the mic.
Yeah, my question was, how does data synchronization happen between GSM and management?
The question is, how is data synchronization happen between GSM and management group? Global Service Monitor exposes REST interface for downloading data, and management group polls GSM for test results. If there are new test results, we will get them. I don't remember from the top of my head. I think it's once a minute or it's once 30 seconds, something like this.
All right, now the gentleman at the microphone.
Two questions. One would be related to your connector. I thought in 2012 we were going away from connectors. That's one question.
So,
just out of curiosity.
I don't have an official answer as far as going away from connectors or not. The TFS connector came about in SP1 specifically to support this DevOps scenario.
Okay. And then the other one was for the Visual Studio web test. Why is it chosen, at least at this point, to only do it through GSM, not internally? Is there an internal where we're owning it, we're managing it, just hitting it internal websites?
So your question is why a Visual Studio web test, you can only run it from external watching OS as opposed to internal as well. The reason is that the answer is it is on our roadmap. We just haven't implemented it yet.
Okay.
We know it's a good scenario.
Do you have plans to do so?
Yes, it's on the roadmap.
Thank you.
All right.
So,
gentlemen, Mike.
The Visual Studio licensing, is that something where, like, if I had a monitoring team and they were working with marketing or something or a commercial app, would we purchase just a separate license, or is there some provision for that within our ops center license or service assurance or anything?
So that's I don't have a specific question or answer to that. I don't know if I'll give you my card, and I'll get your contact information. I'll follow up with you.
Okay. The other question is, and I hesitate to ask this in this room, but that App Status Advisor app, will that work with the Java APM MP as well? Because it seems like you have a lot of the same data.
So the App Advisor console?
So it's
any of the data collected by APM is displayed there. So if it's...
So it wouldn't matter if it was the
Yeah,
Java
it doesn't. It, as long as you're able to discover the app and monitor the app, it should display.
Okay. So my last question was just on dynamic thresholds. So I saw that, like, for response time, you could set hard thresholds for maximums and stuff. Is there any thought to establishing, like, dynamic thresholds, like gathering data for 2 weeks and then alerting if something goes outside standard deviation from that?
The question is whether there is alerting. Basically, you would like to establish a baseline and alert on deviation from the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
Not available currently.
Okay. On the roadmap?
On the roadmap, yes, definitely. We heard
there's a lot of things on the roadmap.
Yes, hi there. Dealing with a lot of different teams, and the APM data has so much data in it, I'm having trouble with security between the teams. Mm-hmm. I think what you said at the end there was you're using separate management groups to help manage the access. That's basically where we're at. There's not another.
So I haven't played around too much with some of the role-based security, and I'm not sure that there's a lot of granularity that you can give within the APM view. You're basically, you can see it or not.
Yeah.
Yes, one way we worked around that was we created separate management groups for each. However, if you use the Team Foundation Server connector and you enable the attachment of the IntelliTrace file, they don't need to go to that site at all. The IntelliTrace would just be in the operational issue. Now, they wouldn't be able to go and review some of all the nice statistical views there, but your dev would have access to the log.
So would the alert then have the attachment in it, or they'd have to have the console access to the ops console to get to the attachment?
No, they wouldn't need access to the ops console. The attachment actually would be added to the TFS work item.
Oh, God. Okay.
So it would be local to TFS. They wouldn't need access to Scott or Operations Manager at all.
Sorry, you're taking me down a path here. I think what we saw there was a manual, a body saying, okay, raise this as a work item. Is there an automated flow as well that you can say, no, just...
So there, it's an overridable setting, and yes, you can set it to automatically create the issue in TFS, and as I'm displaying up here, you can actually associate different area paths to different different team projects and area paths to do it to different applications. So I've got one application component assigned to this path, but I can have multiple paths and different numbers of apps assigned to each.
Great. Thank you.
Yes. So each of these management groups have their own data warehouse. However, they all use a centralized service manager data warehouse for the majority of the data that most of our teams go after from a data warehouse perspective. However, it doesn't grab, we don't have everything that exists in the ops manager data warehouse in the service manager data warehouse. Yes.
With MSCOM, we have 3,100 web applications, and we're exceeding the limits of the product. But
so a little more. So they have over 1,200 web servers, and so they need to pick and choose which servers they're running it on. It's I believe right now you have to use the operational issue. Any other questions? I'm not answering an internal Microsoft question. Come on. Any other questions?
So I have a question. So to attach the IntelliTrace file, you're not required to run debug code.
So if you're going to do the debug, you do need the IntelliTrace file.
But in introduction, for you to be able to attach the IntelliTrace file from your SCOM alert.
I'm sorry. Can you stand at the mic? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I guess the question is, are you running debug code in production in order to be able to attach the IntelliTrace file?
No.
So it builds that automatically?
Well, you need to open up so the IntelliTrace runs, and then you get the light IntelliTrace, and you just need to open that up on a machine that has the symbols.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Even before going to debugging with the developer, if I have, for example, 15 different issues, mm-hmm. failed alerts, Is there a way by looking at the APM data from across the servers anywhere it could have failed if I have a server farm? Is there a way to correlate as to which alert to which exception or any of the details that we get from these servers?
So typically the title of the alert has some of the exception details in it, and that's generally how we've done the correlation. And it also has the application name associated. So if you're looking at a bunch of exception across applications, you can narrow down to a particular app in the console and then look through those alerts and forward the right one, or alternatively set it up so it forwards every one of those alerts automatically.
So you have some kind of a correlation ID as part of the HTTP stack or something that you can correlate that gets dumped, or you just go by just for a given application. You talked about different applications, but if it's a given one application, if there are 10 failures within an hour, and if I want to correlate which exception is matched to which alert, is there a correlation ID?
So it's, well, yeah, we do correlate events, and it generally will raise a single alert. So you can override it to say every time you have an exception, create an alert, but that's just going to drive you nuts. The console's going to fill up. Generally, you're looking at thresholds, and if you're exceeding a threshold of a certain exception, it fires an alert. Mm-hmm. So we are correlating all those exceptions, and you'll generally see a single alert for that exception.
Okay. All right.
Did I answer your question, or
maybe it's a little bit more detailed?
Why don't you come up afterwards and we can chat? We have another question.
What's the feedback just for input, just based on the other gentleman's question about the access or lack thereof? That's a huge barrier for us to be able to put up, to not be able to have easily role-based access to the alerts, the management of it, et cetera, et cetera. We can't put up one management group per.
Well, so within the Operations Manager console, I can have role within that particular tree, but it's the access to the advisor and diagnostic console that's separate. Yes.
Exactly. So just feedback.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, thank you very much for attending. Please fill out the evaluation. Enjoy the rest of MMS, everyone. Thank you.